For great-looking t-shirts, hoodies, and sweatshirts, the TNT Shop is now open at tntradio.live. You're with Joe Hoff on today's News Talk Radio, TNT. TNT.
Well, happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to the Joe Hoff Show here on tntradio.live. I'm glad you're all here able to listen. I encourage you to share the show with others and let them know that we got the best show on the radio. And we're happy to serve you and happy to please you, because we are going to tell the truth. We're going to drop bombs, and we're going to drop truth bombs, and we're gonna rock your world with the truth. And that's what we do here, and that's our job. And that's there it is. Years ago, a guy by the name of on Fox News. Gosh, I've got a picture in my face. He had the biggest show on TV in the U.S. cable TV, cable news, and he got kicked off Fox for some. There are some problems with a woman, or maybe women, and anyways, he had a liberal in the corner. I don't remember his name here. You guys probably there. I already know who I'm talking about. And this liberal, he backed him into the corner and just freaking talked to him and let the liberal just basically say exactly what he's been saying about liberals. And when he was done, he goes, and there it is. And that is that. And we'll be right back. And it was beautiful. And so that's where I get this. And there it is. And that is that. So there it is, and that is that, and this is what we're going to share today. We've got a great show lined up ahead of us. We've got Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus, with us today. And we also have our good friend Roger Stone will be joining us here after the break. So got a lot to talk about. Roger's an incredible, iconic person. It's great to just know him, and it'll be great to catch up on you know what he's saying now. It'll be just, man, it'll be something. A lot going on in the U.S. between the January 6th bogus trials. Just total horrendous what's going on there. These are show trials, and they are an effort to try to build a case that President Trump did something wrong on January 6th, seditious. And if that's a big lie, it's the biggest lie maybe that these perpetrators have perpetrated. And we all know that sedition happened with the Mueller exam, with the Obama-Clinton gang, before Trump even stepped into office, how they started their plans to remove President Trump from a coup, which is that's sedition. And then President Trump wins the election. They start their plans to get rid of people like General Flynn and others. And then they started this bogus Russia collusion thing that they all knew was a lie. It was not even a joke. It was horrendous. And tried to say that these emails made to WikiLeaks were given to WikiLeaks by Russia, which was a lie, and they knew it. And then they went on with that. Basically tried to paint on Carter Page and President Trump the crimes that Hunter Biden was committing. The sleaziness of Hunter Biden hanging out with hookers in L.A. We've got video evidence of that. Having orgies in L.A. He kept them on his laptop, by the way. We've got that. And I'll attest to that. I'll raise my hand. Yeah, that's true. We've got Hunter Biden setting up a Pornhub account with his sister's behind on the front page. It's a little account there. Pretty sick. We found that out because he put a copy on his laptop. And we found out that the Bidens knew that they didn't want Joe Biden, or not Joe, but Hunter, getting around a niece of his. And so they told him he couldn't get around her without an adult with him. He was accused by his brother's wife, who his brother had died, who he was then having an affair with, and then a romance with. No, don't know if that's what you'd call it, because he was such a drug addict and just addict. And she got mad at him, I guess, for his relationship with her daughter. I mean, this is I'm telling you stuff here, guys, that. That nobody's heard before. I don't know if you know that, but nobody's heard this stuff. So that's the Hunter Biden laptop, crazy stuff. It's just amazing. I was one of the few people that was privy to seeing it before the 2020 election. And we put up some stuff, and we never had 2 billion hits a day at Gateway Pundit. We got we got 2 million one day and 3 in the next. And then we just got million, because I dropped about 5 of these articles, and they were just rocks, bombs. And then next week was the stolen election, and we just started tearing that apart too. So anyways, yeah, lots going on, just amazing stuff. So then they set up January 6th. We got Roger Stone, who was involved in the Rush collusion, knows all these terrible players, was in a courtroom with this really just demonic woman by the name of Amy Berman Jackson, an Obama judge in D.C. Just sick. I could tell you a story about her, and I may with Roger. It's just we're going to see, there's a lot of stuff to talk about today. But our good friend Adam Ruckus is with us, and he has a story he'd like to share. And he's always got good stuff for us. And today he wants to talk about basically this new drop of Twitter files. I think it's the 17th drop. He might correct me on that, but more connections between the government and Twitter, and how the government was managing Twitter, telling them what to put up and what to take down. Mostly what to take down, which are mostly conservative sites like my own, which I still don't have back. So anyways, Adam's got some more on that and yesterday's drop. And so Adam, Mr. Ruckus, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, Joe, and yourself?
Great, great. So what's up with this latest drop? Yeah.
Yeah, these Twitter files, some of them have been really bombshell. Some of them have been like, take it or leave it. Mm-hmm. But there's always interesting stuff. There's so much you can glean from these things. So I think you're right that this one was number 17, came out just yesterday on Thursday. This one from the journalist Matt Taibbi. And this one in particular, we're learning about this is how we learn about things that we're not always privy to or we didn't know were out there. One of them is another three-letter agency called the GEC, which is the U.S. State Department's Global Engagement Center. This is something that was put in place under our good friend Obama. So let's dive into this one, shall we, see what we learned. So according to these internal documents that Matt Taibbi was going over, the U.S. State Department, both directly and using third-party organizations, were pressuring Twitter to censor American users based on this lie that the people they were targeting had connections or were actually Russian, Chinese, and or Hindu. So we saw a recent example of this not that long ago about the Russian bots. This is kind of similar, except it spreads much further than just Russian bots. I guess everybody's a bot and they come from everywhere except where they really live, which happens to be America. So Matt Taibbi, his latest Twitter files, it reveals the company's former trust and safety chief, who doesn't love this guy, Yoel Roth. He was approached in 2021. He was given a list of 40,000 accounts that were suspected of engaging in something they labeled as "quote unquote inauthentic behavior," allegedly in support of India's Bharatiya Janata Party. The list was provided by the Digital Forensics Research Lab at the Atlantic Council, which is a think tank funded by the aforementioned Global Engagement Center, GEC, as well as a host of NATO governments and weapons manufacturers, interestingly enough. According to the files, Roth investigated the list, and he found that, quote-unquote, I'm quoting here, virtually all appear to be real people, end quote, rather than Indian bots, while Taibbi contacted several and learned that they were actually just, quote-unquote, ordinary Americans with no connection whatsoever to Indian politics. Go figure. Created in the final year of the Obama administration, this GEC is a State Department entity that works with multiple U.S. intelligence agencies to, quote unquote, counter foreign disinformation. It is forbidden from operating within the United States, which is interesting, and recently had to cut its ties with a George Soros-backed NGO that was using its funding to target American conservative news sites. While the list of supposed Hindu nationalists was given to Twitter via the Atlantic Council, the GEC directly passed other lists to the social media platform, including 500 accounts that were allegedly spreading Iranian, quote-unquote, disinformation, 5,500 quote-unquote Chinese accounts engaged in, quote, state-backed coordinated manipulation, end quote, despite the fact that this latter list included multiple Western government accounts and at least three CNN employees. So Roth described the Chinese list as total crock, while fellow employee Aaron Rodericks said it provided, quote, more entertainment value than anything. So this group, the GEC, and its organizations are tangentially connected to the State Department, just as was the infamous now Alliance for Securing Democracy. They're the ones that published the Hamilton 68 dashboard, the famous Russian bots baloney. But they'd long pressed Twitter to crack down on allegedly, Kremlin-connected accounts. Roth told the staff that it was impossible to detect any quote-unquote Russian fingerprints on any of the accounts. So, just like before, just because you have an account and you retweet something that belongs to what they feel is a news source that's linked to Russia, that somehow makes you Russian and you're up to no good, Joe. I think it's just a vague excuse to just silence and censor American citizens, and it's just disgusting.
Yeah, it's horrible. And we've got the perfect guest that's going to be joining us here right after the break, and that's Roger Stone. Because Roger Stone was accused of being involved in the transfer of information between, the Democrat files, at least knowledge of the transfer, and WikiLeaks. And it was, it was a total lie. And he went through hell in a D.C. court under Amy Berman Jackson, and she indicted him of charges with a biased jury, a majorly corrupt, just evil judge, and it was all made up, and that whole information they came out with about these Russian bots, we looked into it at the Gateway Pundit, and we found out that most of it was in Russian, so that's not like any American could even read the stuff, and what wasn't in Russian, a lot of it was after the 2020 election, so that wasn't that didn't impact the election, obviously. And there was just very, very little, small, tiny amounts that were related to before the election that really would have had any impact. And the ad value on them, on some of these things, Jim had put in 65,000 in ads, and this was about that amount. So it was just a pittance. It was all made up. And I think that's what we're seeing here with this GEC. So I tell you what, Adam, this is a great segue into our next segment with Roger, and I think Roger's ready. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with Roger. But feel free, Adam, to listen and see what Roger has to say about this, because this is a great segue. And thanks so much, and have a great weekend. We appreciate all you do.
Thanks, Joe. You too.
Thanks a lot, and we'll be right back.
TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
The student loan forgiveness Supreme Court hearing, many on the left have made this about race, and I don't think anybody did a better job of that than CNN, who had a guest that was standing outside the Supreme Court.
Student debt in general has prevented a lot of HBCU students to engage in many wealth building activities in regards to investing, purchasing homes, and different things like that that will fill that racial wealth gap, that I would say.
First of all, to me, on the scope of things, $10,000 to people who owe, $100,000, $60,000, $70,000, sure, it makes a difference, but it's not a lot. Having said that, I don't agree with it. But to make this into a racial issue, like everything else is made into a racial issue, it's not surprising, but it's kind of ridiculous.
When all you've got is your race card, you play it. It doesn't matter whatever other hand has, you've got a race card and you're gonna play it.
Steve Malzberg on TNT Radio.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. One reason people tune in to TNT Radio is often because they're loyal to a specific show or personality. Our personalities have been a part of people's daily routine, and people continue to tune in.
They trust TNT Radio
and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. Unbiased information.
Honest and forthright.
News without the misinformation.
It doesn't matter what side you're from. What matters is what you say, the truthfulness behind it.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hey, we're back. This is Joe Hoff with the Joe Hoff Show. And if, as you just heard, Adam's talk about was just this bogus relationship between criminal relationship between the FBI and Twitter, and how they were managing people's accounts and censored people like myself. I no longer have an account. I haven't had my account back since January 2nd of 2021, a couple of days before January 6th. And they had had enough of me. I can't stand the truth. And that was it. So I was discommunicated, and I know somebody that we have with us right now, Roger Stone, he was more than discommunicated. The guy was arrested and went through hell over bogus charges that he always knew, that we all knew were bogus. And then we find out that, yeah, even Mueller's team knew they were. So Roger, welcome to the Joe Hoff Show.
Joe, great to be with you.
I'm thrilled to have you again, Roger. And, you know, God bless you. And, yeah, you maybe, you know, heard this stuff about Twitter. I mean, every day we're hearing new stuff. We got the January 6th stuff still going on. It's just outrageous what's happened there. They've tried to tie you into that, which is just outrageous. It's more lies, more sedition from the seditionists. We've got the DOJ. We've got Weissman, who is such a crook. We've got Amy Berman Jackson still as a judge in D.C. She should be, I believe, in jail herself. And I don't say that lightly. And I wanted to, maybe we can start with that, Roger. I was going to tell you a real quick story, and I'll hand it over to you because I'm really anxious to hear what you were saying. But Mickey, I think her last name's Weintraub. She's Ashley Babbitt's mother. You maybe probably, I assume you probably already met her.
Yes, I've met her. Yes, I've met her. Very nice lady.
Oh, nice. And she's spiritual. She talks to me, and I'm like, my God, there's something really deep with her. Really a spiritual soul. And I've had her on the show, and she called me one day. She goes, you know, I was in Amy Berman Jackson's court. She was going after some more of these January 6th guys. And she said, one of these policemen was there that she went on for 10 minutes and praised him. And this guy's he's a criminal. He beat up people on January 6th. And now he's being praised as a hero for that day. And, but she said, I looked up at Amy Berman Jackson, the judge, an Obama judge. And she goes, she looked like a demon. And she goes, I looked away and I looked back and I still see this demon sitting in the judge's chair. And I thought that absolutely, I do not have a problem at all, you know, understanding that or recognizing that, having watched what she did to you, to Paul Manafort, and now to these January Sixers. You don't do that kind of stuff if you're a just good human being. This person, there's something very sick and evil about her. And I guess I'll just start with that. But, you know, feel free to comment on whatever you'd like. But I'm so glad you're here and anxious to hear what you think really we need to focus on today.
Well, Twitter, of course, Joe, is the ultimately the source of the 2-year ordeal that my wife and I were put through, simply because I set a Google News alert for WikiLeaks and for Julian Assange. And on my own personal Twitter account, I accurately predicted, based on things Assange had actually said in various interviews, that WikiLeaks had obtained a substantial amount of information regarding Hillary Clinton and the Democratic National Committee, and that they would drop it during the fall of 2016. It's really just that simple. I did have one source, a fellow named Randy Credico, who is a friend of mine in New York now, I guess no longer a friend, testified against me. He told me that he knew a woman lawyer who worked for WikiLeaks who told him the same thing. No specificity beyond that, by the way. We produced a text message and an email in which he said that to me, but in the end, neither my lawyers did not introduce those in court. And I was subjected, as you know, to a Soviet-style show trial. I think every one of the judge's pretrial rulings against me was unconstitutional. For example, the judge ruled that I could not use evidence of corruption by the special counsel's office, the FBI, the Department of Justice, or any individual member of Congress in my defense. Well, under the Supreme Court decision, Kyles v. Whitley, the legitimacy of both the indictment and the investigation are always grounds for defense. But I guess most egregiously, without having to relive the whole thing, was the fact that we learned after my conviction that the jury forewoman, who had said during jury selection she was unfamiliar with me or my case, had been attacking me and President Trump by name on both Twitter and Facebook prior to being selected as a juror in my trial, and that she had kept these postings on a private setting during jury selection and during the trial, and she had quietly deleted them after I was convicted around Thanksgiving. So that was grounds for a new trial at a minimum. It certainly showed bias on behalf of the jury forewoman, also a lack of candor in jury selection. But the judge upheld my conviction because they weren't taking a chance on my mounting a second defense. The whole thing is an extraordinary nightmare, as you know. Not only was I banned for life on Twitter in 2017, but I was also gagged by Judge Berman Jackson and unable to defend myself from the media Democrat cabal. And to this day, people still think that I was somehow involved in Russian collusion or WikiLeaks collaboration or involved in the phishing and publication of John Podesta's emails. And of course, the government never produced any evidence whatsoever that I was involved in any of those things at my trial.
Yeah, amen. Here's a question I just have as you're talking through this. You know, this whole thing was about Russia collusion, you know, and to me, I'd mentioned earlier, we even put a post up about this. It looked like a lot of the stuff that they came out with in the Steele dossier really was a magnification and a projection onto Trump and Carter Page of Hunter Biden, this just nasty, rotten drug addict who was, you know, grabbing money around the world, dealing with Russians. But as we look back at all this thing, and this was the thing too, I thought this is pretty dangerous playing with Russia like this. I mean, don't they have nukes? And so here was this whole story based on Russia, and now we've got the Ukraine-Russia war. Do you think there was a belief or a plan that maybe deep state, I'll just use the word deep state, was thinking we're eventually going to get Russia into some of world war, and so we will start to build a negative message about Russia during that time period? Do you think there was that much forethought in this, or do you think it was maybe not? What would you say?
I would say that the invention of the Russian collusion hoax was both an offensive and defensive tactic by the Democrats. It was Hillary Clinton who sold the Russians control of most of this country's uranium supply. The people around Hillary Clinton, who made millions of dollars in mining, banking, insurance, and from the oligarchs around Vladimir Putin. So in order to bury that, they turned around and accused baselessly both Donald Trump and the Trump organization and the Trump campaign of being tied to and working with Russia. Robert Mueller, with unlimited legal authority, unlimited legal reach, and unlimited budget, never turned up any evidence of that whatsoever, which means that I basically was charged with lying about things that never actually happened. How does one lie about Russian collusion when there was no Russian collusion to lie about? I think most people understand that the real reason that I was charged was to put ungodly pressure on me to testify falsely against my friend of now 43 years, Donald Trump. And I refused to do that. So I was a man staring into the abyss. Anybody who understands the geopolitics of our current situation understands that this country, the United States, signed a treaty with Russia in 1994 with President Ronald Reagan signing for America and Soviet leader Gorbachev signing for Soviet Russia, in which we agreed that Ukraine would remain a neutral buffer zone and that we would not press Ukraine to join NATO. In other words, Joe, we would not press Ukraine to mount offensive intercontinental ballistic missiles aimed at Russia on the ground in Ukraine. So this war is in violation of a treaty that we signed. And anyone who thought this was going to be over quickly with victory by one side or the other, obviously, sadly mistaken. We're looking at, one year now, and the war is going to drag on. It's going to drag on to a point where I believe, while most Americans, I think, are sympathetic to the Ukrainians, and Putin is certainly no hero. He's a thug, no question about that. At the end of the day, spending a couple hundred billion dollars in unchecked aid to this Ukrainian war effort, while we have 370,000 homeless veterans in this country, is not in the end going to wear well with the American people.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, what about Zelensky? What do you think of him?
I think he's an actor. I think he's an actor who's been hired to play the role of a president. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being an actor and going into politics. Ronald Reagan was an actor who went into politics, but he also had two very successful terms as governor of California. And I think his motivations were absolutely clear. He was a Goldwater conservative who brought those principles to government. Whereas Zelensky, I think, is just a front man, an actor playing a role, paid most likely by the oligarchs behind the throne, who are making a fortune in money laundering and other illicit activities in Ukraine. I personally am offended that when President Zelensky addressed a joint session of Congress, that he essentially wore a dirty sweatshirt. I mean, if you're giving somebody $100 billion, and it's more than that now, could he not simply pay us the respect to wearing a jacket and tie? I would point out to you, when he went to the World Economic Forum summit, he wore a suit and tie. Why could he not wear a suit and tie in Congress? Unless, of course, he's just playing a role.
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing. Well, you talk about somebody who's playing an actor, and at least he's a good actor. We got Joe Biden in the U.S. Who do you think's really running the show here?
Look, I have made no bones about the fact that I think former President Barack Obama is the single most influential person in the country today. I think it is not incidental that all of Biden's top advisors and staffers came out of the Obama administration. I think that Barack Obama remains the most powerful and popular Democrat in the country. And I think that is who is really calling the shots. It is very clear, poor Joe Biden, he's not in control of anything, may not even be in control of his own bowels for that matter.
I have to agree with you. I tell people that all the time on this show. It's like, this guy can't make it to the bathroom in the middle of the night without help. You know, somebody else is running this country.
As you know, there is substantial evidence that when he visited the Pope, if you read in the Italian media, in one photograph, he's wearing a matching suit where the pants and the jacket match. After the meeting, he's wearing the same jacket, but a completely different pair of pants. It was reported in the Italian media that he had had a, quote, bathroom accident. This may be due to medication, maybe due to his age. I don't know. But this didn't get much play in the United States. It got quite a bit of play in Europe. I'm amazed when I watched his State of the Union address, because I closed my eyes and parts of it, I could almost picture Donald Trump. I mean, you would have him. He was taking credit for Trumpian accomplishments. It was Donald Trump who capped the price of insulin at $35, not Joe Biden. And then he keeps saying, when it comes to inflation, look at the mess that I inherited. What is he talking about? He inherited one of the lowest inflation rates in American history. I have no idea what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. It's just about, It's just lies or just insanity. It's crazy. If we were to change directions here a little bit, we've got an election coming up. And I know you're a friend of Donald Trump. And I also know you're in Florida. And there's a lot of think there's this great governor here, DeSantis. And we noticed last weekend he was with some people in Palm Beach. And I guess Laura Ingraham was one of them because and then she had him on her show this week. Doesn't mention the fact that she just spent the weekend with him, but does introduce him in his book and just really talks really highly of him. And now this weekend, it looks like DeSantis and Mike Pence and some others are going to be back in Palm Beach and meeting with a bunch of donors. And I guess today I was thinking, you know, if Laura Ingraham is your mouthpiece, well, then, you know, you don't have a really great chance because I think she lost so much credibility even before the election of 2020, but after certainly there's just a lot of people who won't have anything to do with her, especially after she had President Trump on one night and just cut him off as he was talking about all this massive fraud from the 2020 election. So you're great at projecting, events politically, Roger. I think this has been maybe one of your greatest skill sets over the years. What do you foresee in the next couple of years and how do you see 2024, you know, landing? Any projections on that at this time?
Well, Joe, I'm glad you brought this up. I spoke about this on my show at StoneZone.live last night, StoneZone.live, which you can see every day at 5 o'clock Eastern, by the way, StoneZone.live. And I did the morning line. That was our theme yesterday. Governor DeSantis, who I voted for twice, is very definitely running for president. He is the Republican establishment candidate, although he is canny and smart enough to know that the ground has shifted to the America First wing of the party. So he pains himself to sound like Donald Trump. I do think that there's going to be much closer scrutiny on his policies in Florida because I would argue in many cases, he is not really who he tells you he is. So, no, he did not keep our beaches and our businesses open during the COVID-19 pandemic. He talks a good game, but if you look at the facts, the three largest counties in the state, the seven largest school districts in the state, were still requiring masks long after the president's, long after the governor's executive order to the contrary. Yet he never enforced that executive order. He has an executive order which prohibits the school boards here from adopting curriculum that includes critical race theory or other sex and gender lies. The problem is that here in Broward County, where I am, the largest school district in the state, the sixth largest school district in the United States, we have an ADL, Anti-Defamation League recommended curriculum that does exactly that, that encompasses critical race theory. But the election for governor is over. The governor has done nothing about it. Then yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, he's interviewed by the Times of London, which is owned by the News Corporation, Rupert Murdoch, the same person who employs Laura Ingraham. And when asked where he stood on the war on Ukraine and spending more there, he essentially gave a non-answer. He punted. That's because as a member of the House, he was a big supporter of the illegal coup in which the Obama administration toppled a democratic elected government in Ukraine, which kind of led us to where we are today. So he is running. There is no question about that. It's a free country. He's entitled to run if he wants to. I do think President Trump is in a much stronger position with a larger and more intense base. But the governor is going to be a serious contender. He has unlimited establishment money. He has the support of the Jeb Bush, Paul Ryan wing of the party. He will try to sound more like Donald Trump than like Jeb Bush. But I would urge people to really examine his record extremely closely. I think at the end of the day, he will not be successful. One question I get constantly, Joe, and I want to address here is a lot of good Republicans say to me, why can't Trump run with DeSantis for vice president? That would be a terrific ticket. Would take you 2024, 2028 and beyond. And the reason that cannot happen is because the rules of the Electoral College effectively prohibit a party from nominating two people from the same state. You can do so under the Electoral College rules, but if you did do so, you would forfeit the 37 electoral votes of Florida if the ticket was successful in carrying the Sunshine State. And that is something, obviously, in a close race, we cannot afford to do. Now, for those who say, well, that's easy, Trump can just move his legal residence back to New York or New Jersey, those states, I would point out to you, both of them have a confiscatory state income tax system. Florida has no income tax. There is no chance that Donald Trump is going to change his residence from Florida, which is why a Trump-DeSantis ticket cannot happen and will not happen.
Mm. Wow, really interesting. I didn't know all that. I'll move on to one other topic, if you don't mind, before we're done here. I'm really interested in this information that you came out with not long ago. And there was some information that I guess came out from some documents that were released by the CIA, by the deep state, regarding John F. Kennedy and his assassination. And they're still withholding additional documents that Trump said he wanted released, and they still haven't released them. And now they're still not released. And you wrote some incredible pieces about Nixon and that he knew about the Kennedy assassination more than I'd ever heard before, and that may be the reason that they ended up taking down Nixon. And to me, looking back at all of this, it reminds me of Donald Trump. This effort they used against Nixon is exact. To me, it was, they expected Trump to do the same, to just resign. And he wasn't about to do it. So they had to steal this election. And I've written three books on that. I'm on my third book on the steal. Absolutely. The election never should have been certified. Absolutely. From a professional executive auditor internationally in Hong Kong, who's done 200-300 audits around the world, this election never should have been certified. So anyways, what can you tell us about the deep state, Kennedy, Nixon, and Trump, if you don't mind?
Well, I think it would be accurate to say that the military-industrial complex, what we now call the deep state, was responsible for the murder of John Kennedy. I've written a New York Times best-selling book called The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ, in which I make the case that Lyndon Johnson was at the helm of a plot that included the Central Intelligence Agency, the Secret Service, Big Texas Oil, the big banking conglomerates, organized crime, and others. And I make a very compelling case using fingerprint evidence, eyewitness evidence, and deep Texas politics. That's a New York Times bestseller. By the way, if you want that, you can go to themanwhokilledkennedy.com, themanwhokilledkennedy.com, or you can go to stonezone.com. and go into the shop where the book is also for sale. But in both those cases, you get a signed copy. I recently uncovered a long overlooked audio tape of Richard Nixon, really in the depths of Watergate, meeting with CIA director Richard Helms, and essentially threatening Helms that if the agency did not help Nixon survive Watergate, he would expose the agency's role in the assassination of John Kennedy. He specifically says to Helms, and Tucker Carlson featured this audio on his program, he specifically says, "I know who shot John." There it is. So I wrote a Substack piece on that, which is really, really taken off in a very positive way. You can get that at substack.rogerstone.com. If you want to read that piece. But Tucker Carlson found it so compelling that he reported on it. Now, the real point, of course, Joe, is the same forces that killed John Kennedy, the same forces who removed Richard Nixon in a bloodless, silent coup, are essentially the same forces that attempted to remove Donald Trump in the Russian collusion hoax. It is the intelligence agencies and the deep state, as you call them, These are one and the same people, and they're one in the same tactics, including the manipulation, of course, of the media.
Mm. Yeah, I heard recently, and maybe one of my friends corrected me, I'm not sure on the number, but it was like of the people that broke into Watergate, and like I thought it was 3 out of 4. My friend said, no, 4 out of 4 were CIA. It's like,
four of the eight burglars were still actively on the payroll of the Central Intelligence Agency. And 4 of the 8 Watergate burglars just happened to already be on the scene in Dealey Plaza on November 22nd, 1963.
Wow. Amazing. I didn't know. Yeah, it's just amazing. Well, the thing that grabbed me that really kind of, you know, personally, I made this connection between Trump and Nixon was that the first person they called in for the impeachment against Trump, this bogus impeachment about Ukraine, where Trump was spot on. He was over target. They were freaking, and they made this bogus thing up and impeached him, which we just all thought, you know, we thought impeachment was sacred, and they made it into a weapon. But the first guy up was John Dean from Watergate fame, who is real nasty and hates Trump. Well, that to me was like, I wonder, you know.
As I said in my, I wrote 2 books on Watergate, Nixon's Secrets, and then secondarily, Tricky Dick, The Rise and Fall and Rise of Richard M. Nixon. And I think I accurately point out that it was John Dean who planned, pushed, covered up, and then revealed the Watergate break-in for his own reasons. He was not a whistleblower. He reinvented himself as a whistleblower. And then he moved sharply to the left as a critic of both George W. Bush and as a critic of Donald Trump to ensure that no one in the media would ever poke into his actual role as the perp in Watergate. He pointed his fingers at people who were not involved. He blamed John Mitchell, the attorney general, Nixon's law partner, who would go to prison, maintaining his innocence right to the day of his death. John Dean is the Watergate weasel, to say the least. Again, I cover all of this in my book, Nixon's Secrets.
Wow, great stuff, Roger. That's that stuff's just amazing. Will you be going to CPAC this weekend?
I will not. Mrs. Stone is ill, and therefore I am staying with her for the weekend. But I have many, many friends who are going. I think it's going to be very exciting. And I believe when does the president speak? When does President Trump speak?
I believe tomorrow night, Saturday night, Saturday evening. Yeah. Keynote speaker.
That should be a real highlight. I'm sorry that I have to miss that.
Mm-hmm. I noticed these other guys will be in Florida. They've got an excuse not to go there. I actually said to Christina Bob, who was on the show yesterday, is it because they're gonna arrest Trump in D.C. tomorrow on some bogus charges? Is that why these guys aren't going? They don't want to be there when that happens? I don't know. She kind of lost her breath when I said that, but I don't know. I don't know. These guys
let us hope that is not the case. Look, I'm living proof of 2 things, that we have a 2-tier justice system. You can break the law as Hunter Biden has done, and nothing will happen to you. You cannot break the law, but just stand up for Donald Trump as I did and be persecuted for it. Joe, I was shocked the other day when my lawyer called me to tell me that we had received a letter from Hunter Biden's attorneys advising me to preserve all of my emails in connection to his laptop. Well, that would be no emails whatsoever, because everything I know about Hunter Biden's laptop, I learned by reading it either in the New York Post or in the Breitbart News or at the Gateway Pundit. I played no role whatsoever in the process by which that material got to those media outlets. I've read about how that happened. It appears to me to be perfectly legal in the way that it did so, but this is a tactic of the left in order to distract attention away from the actual evidence of criminality, influence peddling, corruption, bribery, treason, create a controversy about how that information became public. And that's what they're seeking to do In my case, I have no emails to preserve. But once again, you know, I have to go back to my legal defense fund because I still have left over from the Russian collusion hoax. I still have 11 civil lawsuits filed against me or me and my wife, all of which are baseless, all of which are meritless, all of which are unsubstantiated, but all of which are heavily sensationalized. The good news is there were once 17 of them. Today there are 11. You have to defend yourself. Otherwise, a default judgment is entered against you. People who want to help us can go to stonedefensefund.com, stonedefensefund.com, and God bless you for it. Now I'm going to have to go back to the well and raise more money to defend myself from Hunter Biden's lawyers. But that's not going to have the chilling effect of trying to silence me, which is what I think this is about.
Mm. Yeah, God bless you. That whole time when you had that gag order for Jackson and you couldn't say anything, couldn't defend yourself. I don't see how gag orders are legal. I don't see how that's constitutional. I don't understand that at all. I thought that was horrible.
At the time, my lawyers appealed the gag order to the D.C. Circuit. They sat on our appeal until a week before the trial. And then they ruled that it was not ripe because I had to first ask Judge Jackson to remove the gag order that she had put in place. And only then would it be ripe for them to rule on. By then, of course, it no longer mattered. I think this was, by the way, a tactical mistake by my attorneys.
Mm. Well, you're not in a fair court, and you, especially with the German Jackson court, you're not going to get anything fair there. So. Yeah, I mean, your attorney's, it's a nightmare.
I think a case could be made that no Republican, no Trump supporter, no non-Democrat get a fair trial in the District of Columbia.
I agree. And there's some other districts around the country as well, New York, D.C., some of these big cities, you know, good luck. So, Roger, it's been a pleasure to have you. I know you got a busy schedule. I could talk to you all day. And you know, you're a hero of many of ours and cannot even begin to comprehend what you've had to go through, but we're with you, and we'll do anything we can to help you because this is outrageous to this country. We got to stand up today. So you're doing it and being a great example for all of us, Roger.
Well, Joe, I appreciate that. I salute you and, of course, the Gateway Pundit, which is, I think, bringing the American people the truth and doing it in a very quick, orderly and accurate manner every single day. So I appreciate being with you. I appreciate your support. And God bless America.
Yeah, and God bless you, Roger. Thanks so much. Really appreciate being here. I have to have you back again soon. Thanks so much. Well, we're going to take a quick break now. It's Joe Hoff Show. Thank you, Roger. And we'll be right back.
The World Government Summit was shocked by Elon Musk.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Marano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Marano.
Tesla and Twitter billionaire Elon Musk had this to say while addressing the World Government Summit.
Now, I know this is called the World Government Summit, but I think we should be maybe a little bit concerned about actually becoming too much of a single world government. If I may say that we want to avoid creating a civilizational risk by having, frankly, this may sound a little odd, too much cooperation between governments.
Musk went on to dismantle the entire efforts of this organization to make a global government and warned that if every government was on the same page, success or failure would all affect humanity at the same time. This is all happening as the World Health Organization is pushing its global pandemic treaty that will allow instant lockdowns and stay-at-home orders globally. Kudos to Elon Musk for confronting the World Government Summit with a truth bomb. This is Mark Marano for the Marano Minute on TNT Radio.
Papa, why can't we telegraph while riding a horse?
Son, there ain't no one to blame but Jeffro. He was riding old Betsy the Stallion, tip-tapping away at his telegraph, when blam, ran right into the side of the saloon.
Well, if Jeffro can't do it, neither should you. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is the Joe Hoff Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Well, that was fantastic having Roger with us. Hope you enjoyed it. It's you just can't even start to comprehend what this guy's had to go through. While I was just mentioning it during break with our producer here, Alex, that just Stone, while he's going through all this stuff, just the monkey business. It's just, it was horrible what he never should have been arrested. It was they claimed he lied in front of Congress. Well, we got Adam Schiff lying every day to the American people there. I mean, those charges hardly ever, go through. But with Trump's people, it didn't matter. You could jaywalk, and they're going to arrest you and throw you in prison. And basically, that's almost what they did with Paul Manafort and Roger. And they both landed in front of this Amy Berman Jackson. And like I said, she's evil. She's just plain evil. And, she's not a judge. She is a monster and just a nasty, nasty woman. And that's how a lot of, in my opinion, I'm sorry, these Obama judges, they're just nasty. There's something really rotten about them. And they should not be in our court system at all. Our court system needs a major overhaul. It's just major because these judges are just disgusting. An example is I'm writing my next book on the steal, on the cover up, what you'll notice, and I write about this in the book, is Sidney Powell, attorney Sidney Powell, successfully gotten General Flynn off of his charges in a miracle, just brilliant casework. She was just, she just saved his life. And he's in front of this DC court with these corrupt judges and a corrupt case, just disgusting what they tried to pin on him. They tried to say that he lied about a phone call that he made with a Russian ambassador before the inauguration in 2017. And he was doing his job, and the media is saying, oh, he never should have been calling this guy, it's Russian, blah, blah, blah. This is as they're trying to build a Russian case against Trump. There's nothing wrong with what Flynn did. As a matter of fact, he was doing his job. His new administration's coming in. He's calling these guys, trying to tell them, hey, we'll be in power here in a few weeks, and we can work through some of this. So then they tried to label what he was doing illegal, and it was a lie. They couldn't get him on anything. They'd set him up a year and a half prior, late 2015, actually, using deep state actors from the U.S. and from overseas, and one of them, Stefan Halper, is a known drug addict with a cocaine habit that the CIA was using, or the CIA or the deep state, not really sure, maybe the military intel. So anyways, Flynn was set up. They lied about him. Halper lied about him, that he had some affair with some Russian woman. She's suing Halper, and I think they ended up throwing her case out, which is outrageous, just outrageous. This guy is such a, this is what happens. So anyways, Flynn didn't lie to anybody, but set up. He came into the White House, and it was Peter Strzok and another guy. I think we believe it's Joe Pienka, and they go into Flynn's office in the White House, and they say, blah, 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 and then they claim that he lied. Well, we find out later that, no, the liars were Strzok and Pienka. They changed the documents, their notes from the discussion. And then that's what they used then. To get Flynn to resign. Mike Pence was involved. He sided against Flynn. Now looking back, you're like, huh, what's going on there? And Flynn was forced to resign. So, and then on a bogus charge, he ends up getting pressured by the corrupt DOJ and saying, hey, you either sign off on this, or we're gonna indict your son, who just had a baby, Mike Flynn. So Mike Flynn Jr. So anyways, he signed it. It was country versus son, and he stuck with his son. And then they made his life holy hell until Sidney Powell came in, and she found out that there's a bunch of documents sitting out there that needed to be unearthed. And when she called for them, the DOJ didn't want to unearth them because it would show and prove all these crimes that Hillary and Obama committed. Jerome Karsh, of course, he wrote about that recently. And Powell got Flynn off. Anyways, long story short, Sidney Powell comes in to do these election cases in Wisconsin, gets an Obama judge. In Michigan, gets an Obama judge. In Arizona, gets an Obama judge. And in Georgia, gets a corrupt old George Bush judge. All three threw her cases out. She had massive amounts of election fraud from the 2020 election, and they threw it out, and they made fun of her. and they smeared her. And this is one of the greatest attorneys in U.S. history. And that's what they did to these American heroes. General Flynn, President Trump, Sidney Powell, and more. This is the people we're up against, folks. We can sleep this weekend. We can have fun this weekend. But don't you dare forget that we're under attack. We are under attack by some monsters. And we're going to beat them because we got the truth on our side. And have a great weekend. We'll be back fighting again on Monday. God bless you. God bless Roger Stone. And have a great weekend.